Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. And every Monday, you will be joining me, Eric Feng, and SG Budget Babe Dawn on our weekly segment, Wise and Shine, where we leverage on the latest quirky happenings out there on the internet to answer many of your burning social and personal development questions. Yes, we're all sick and tired of talking about money, so welcome back to Wise and Shine.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Some families, money is something that you don't talk about. It's very sensitive.
It's very touchy.
I think more than some. Quite a bit of fan.
That's why, especially in Asia.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Wise and Shine. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut.
Hi, Eric here, Mr. Positivity.
And I'm Dawn, SG Budget Babe.
Nice, nice. So today, finally, just the three of us only.
We've been having a lot of OG days.
Yeah, we've been having a lot of guests, right? So yeah. Great. Wait, any favorite guests so far?
You cannot ask this question because you have to be very PC.
It's asking you which is your favorite child.
Yeah. No, so today we want to talk about a very important topic. And recently there's been more and more discussion around this thing, which is like, should you share your finances with your partner? Right? Or should you share the same financial ideas with your partner?
And
right?
Ideals mean I-D-E-A-L-S, not yeah. Ideas.
Yeah. Ideas can share, free one, just yeah. Share, right?
But so, ideals a bit hard. I might commit to the same vision.
Yes. So I think that's the thing that I wanted to bring up because I've been having a lot of Telegram DMs around like, oh, family, you know, it's very easy to manage finances on my own, but you know, I'm settling down or something, you know, so all that jazz that is coming in. Right, and which is why today we're gonna talk about it, right? So should you share your partner's financial ideals? Okay, and by extension we can kick the can down to see what else we want to talk about. So yes, anybody, awesome. What's your position?
My answer is yes and no.
That's not a position.
So PC,
yeah,
right?
But so PC.
Let me explain why. I feel that it's very hard to find someone whom you love and shares the same financial ideals. It is ideal if you can find that person. But reality is very hard and you can't control your emotions, right? It's not like you think this person is financially very suitable for you in terms of the ideals, not the money. Then you make yourself love him. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes the person you love just comes from a whole baggage of history whereby this is his viewpoint on money. And I say this because that's my situation. My husband and I have very different viewpoints about money, but it's only through conversations that we realize why we differ in this. And throughout all this time, it's about me explaining to him my point of view and him explaining the other, his side. So for him, for instance, he grew up with a lot, right? So his view is that money is easy, right? You want it, you just go and work for it and you just give it to the child, very easy. Whatever the child wants, just give. On the other hand, I grew up with less. I had to work for it. I saw how money became tension in my family. And it was always difficult, like, you know, to illustrate, when it came down to going to university, it was either me or my sister. It was that kind of tough decision because we just didn't have money. And people then say, just take a loan. You all know loan also got maximum loan you all can take, right? It literally was to the point where we could only take on one loan and they had to choose which child to go. And unfortunately, I was not the chosen one. You know, so it was very difficult. But because of that, I still made my way through and I became a scholar straight. I couldn't get in and I have no money, right? No one want to lend me money, right? So I earned my way through it with my brains. Work, and I have no brains. I trained my brains. I worked very hard to get A's just so that I can earn a scholarship. Beautiful. And put myself through uni because that was what I wanted. And I felt that whole journey of learning to work for it made me a better person. Whereas my husband never worked for it. It was a lot of things, whatever he wanted as a child, he was given. When I wanted a new bag, I had to save up to get it. I wanted a new CD. You know, CD after a very out thing, right? I want to collect the latest.
We're not same group.
Collect the latest Zhou Jie Lun or Chai Yi Ling CD, right? Oh, it's like $20,000, you know? I must save for that. I mean, I love him, but we don't share the same ideas with money, then how I blame him? No, right? That's his worldview. That's his perspective. It's about coming together to find how can you then work towards. So he starts to see my perspective of why I don't think money is forever. It comes and goes. You have to manage it. And I also start to see his perspective of, okay, lah, but you don't have to be so kiam all the time. You can afford to spend a bit more, because I was also not in a situation like I was in as a child where we had nothing or very little. Now we have a bit more, so we can afford to indulge our children a bit more. But yet at the same time, indulge to the point where they don't become spoiled either. So it's about managing it. And I think that's why I say it's a yes and no, because you will not necessarily find someone who shares the same financial ideals. And even if you do, right, it won't be 100% the same. But it's about communicating your differences and then finding a shared path that you can go on.
Yeah, fair. Later we come back to that. Yes, I see some stuff, yeah.
I think mine is a little bit more simplistic. I feel that if you are the one that earned the money, you can decide how you want to spend the money.
Oh my God, that's like the laopa vibes, you know? Laopa vibes.
I feel that, okay, I earn my keep, right? So I have the right to spend it whichever way I want it. Likewise for the partner, you know, it's the same thing that applies. Yeah, so quite straightforward for me. The problem is when you impose, lah.
What if
So your answer is no.
No, that is okay that our ideas are different.
It's okay to have a different
idea. As long as we don't impose.
Okay, what if, right, let's say it's a family whereby, let's say you are the father figurehead and you earn the income. The mother is a stay-home mom.
Yeah.
So you have to give the mom some money because she stay home, take care of the kids, right? And then let's say you work very hard. So you are like, your mindset is money have to be carefully managed and all that. And your wife is like, just take and buy. Then how?
Literally have the same problem, but it's not with my partner, but it's with my mom. Because I had a dog, right? And now my mom's the main caregiver and my job is to fund the caregiving. And she every day will spend a few hundred dollars on the dog.
Every day?
Yeah, Titan is very expensive.
Titan is very expensive. Anyway, steal him is a good thing. Titan, right, spends $900 every month just on food alone. Because my mom decided that it's raw food is good. It's good. So I bring this out as an example because it's ultimately still about communication. Now, one of the mistakes I made, which I reminded myself never ever to make, is that you cannot impose it on others in the sense that because I earn the money, I have the say. I used to do that to my mom, and it's very upsetting. It's very you kind of hurt the person because you're implying that the person is not making money, therefore the person have no say. I felt that it's the same thing with your partner or your spouse, whoever, your boyfriend or girlfriend. That okay, we decide that in this relationship, who's gonna take care of what? So maybe for example, kitchen, right? Maybe I care a lot about cooking, so I'm gonna take care of the groceries, and we decided that this is how much money we want to spend on groceries. Anything more out of your own budget, out of your own pocket. So if we have very clear expectations, then I really don't think we have a problem. Problem comes when there is expectations that was not communicated. And then there is stress. For example, maybe the husband is not making a lot of money, but the wife expects something expensive. And it becomes very stressful for the husband. And that's where problems happen.
Interesting. Then and there's the part that you were talking about, like you giving your mom not making the money, right?
Yeah.
And then like the other party feels inferior.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is something, it's a phenomenon, right? There's some basis here that's underlying these two anchor, right? Which both parties are making money. Pretty much, right? Both parties are making money. So you make your own kid.
Yes.
Right? So both parties are making money. But what if it's a situation where only one party makes money? Okay. Yeah.
There's a power imbalance.
Okay. And then this whole thing can spill into a very complicated situation where we may have different financial ideals, but because you make the kid, I have to follow. You know, there's an inherent idea, right?
And typically the one who earns it will feel the pain more because he's the one earning it.
Yes.
And then you'll be like, okay, I cannot say he, sometimes she.
It's a different world now, right? Like, guys, if you want to be a house husband, you know, take care of the kids, go for it, do it, I say for you. Yeah, and ladies, you must accept it if you believe in equality.
Yeah.
Right? You must accept that there's such a reality that if you truly believe in equality, then this thing must happen.
Yeah, right? So I think going back, right, when someone earns it and then the other one spends, the one who earns it will feel the pain a lot more. And then we start to have thoughts like, is he or she not recognizing that I have to work very hard for it? Why spend like water like that? Free. And then the other party, on the other hand, like what you say, is like, but you give me control to spend, then why are you judging my spending and my spending patterns and decisions? Yeah.
And I think underpinning that idea also fundamentally, there's a lack of questioning of like how well someone is spending.
Mm.
Okay, that not recognizing that spending well is also a skill set.
Yep.
Right? Yeah, like, it is. Like you may be earning a lot, right? You're a great earner, right? But then you're the sole earner in a family, and then your spouse or your partner does not earn, they spend, but they are spending great.
Mm.
Right? And that is a skill set in itself that should be
If you don't have that skill set, just read sgbudgetbeep.com.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Girl is amazing with that.
Plug, must plug. Keep our show, own self show, own
but
self plug.
I have
plug,
to
okay?
say, I really yeah. think the way I spend is very good.
great.
And so, my husband recognizes that, right? It's like, if you can go, like, we just came back from Taiwan. Mm. I haven't tabulated our expenses, but I suspect it's like 5 or 6K for 4. Adults and 2 kids. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
I can honestly say, if I left all the planning to my husband and he acknowledges this, if he does the planning, it would have easily gone to 10K.
Mm.
But because I had some control, we had free rein here and then, and we some parts you can do, I don't care, close 2 eyes. Some other parts I do. And as a result, we were able to come to a good compromise. And that's why I think you don't have to always share the same exact ideals.
Mm.
But it's about communicating. One example, we hired a driver. Right, and I don't know about you guys, but do you feel like spending $200 plus to $300 a day just for a private driver is expensive?
For me, I think it's okay.
It is, right?
because I value convenience. But that's where contention comes in, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel it's a no, right? Yeah. But my husband explained the convenience part, and I saw the value and virtue of that. So I went ahead and let's just do it.
Mm.
Painful, but now that you explained the convenience factor, which I didn't think about as much, I can see the value.
Because without that, you're probably going to be very on a high strung, right? Because you've got to manage your kids.
All
you
want
to
enjoy the holiday
and
everything.
Then what you're wasting now is the entire trip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But also then we came to a compromise and we said that, but we don't need a private driver for all the days of the trip. So some parts we can do by public
days,
transport.
The main days.
Yeah, the main days, correct.
You see, Reggie, this is precisely why money will not be a problem with you and your husband, because you are able to talk about money as a very neutral thing. It's a resource. But have you ever wondered that some families, money is something that you don't talk about. It's very sensitive.
It's very touchy.
I think more than some. Quite a bit of family.
That's why, especially in Asia.
Like, let me ask you something. Let's say the wife earns more than the husband. Does that mean that the wife pay more for the husband? Like, do you? What's the rule here? Like, if I earn 20% more, does it mean that I pay more?
Yes.
So I've talked to a lot of couples, right? And they always ask me for tips. So at the end of the day, the answer is really there's no rule. It's up to how you do it. And I realize some couples, they like a 50-50, right? Some others, they like, we have a joint bank account. Every month, we put in according to our income. Let's say this one 70, this one 30. And then we talk about it if things change. So it's a very fluid and it's a very personal arrangement.
Mm.
I can honestly say, me and my husband, we decided right from the start, none of that works. So you know what's our arrangement?
What's your arrangement?
Very controversial. A lot of people are not going to like it, but it works for us. It's 100% me, zero him, except for certain things. But I bill him at the end of every financial year. Hi, this is the sum for our kids, our maid, our house, our mortgage. And then when I run out of money halfway through the year or something, I just ask him, he pays. And it only works because I can manage and plan and budget. And then if I run out from my own savings or our cash pile, then he tops up the difference. So we only settle it once a year.
Mm.
But I have other couples who don't even do that. They were just like, we just take from the same pot and it doesn't matter who goes. So I think at the end of the day, it's just
what system you want to use.
Yes, what system and what's easier. And my parents' system, for instance, was quite interesting. Although I feel on hindsight, I used to think it was very smart. Then I grew up and I realized it was not smart. Okay, why? Because my dad took care of all the hard, boring stuff, the non-human stuff, like the taxes, the mortgage and all. My mom took care of all the human stuff, the helper, the kids, the tuition. After a while, you reach a stage in life where you find out your kids' tuition and the maids cost a lot more than your taxes and electricity. Then it became unfair. But because that rule was set right from the start, so when the numbers changed later on, my parents didn't communicate. And then it became a source of stress and tension. And my mom kept feeling like, you and my daddy and I are earning like that. Then why is it that I have to keep paying? And because they never resolved that, that eventually drove both of them apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I think also having a system initially can be good, but couples need to work towards changing it.
Yeah, but you can hold a system without the same ideals.
Yes, correct.
That's the idea, right? But I come from a different point of view. Right?
You can't hold a system.
No, I come from a different point of view. I believe that you must have a similar ideals. Or in fact, the best is to have same ideals.
But can you find someone with the same ideals whom you also love?
Yeah, so then that adds to the difficulty, right? That's why single for so long, right? So that adds to the difficulty in itself, right? But I do believe that, you know, you need to have the same ideals, right? In a sense that even if you didn't begin, you didn't start the same, eventually, you should reach a point where both of you understand and accept and come to the same ideals, right? If not, there'll be a lot of friction that is, you know, you can even argue that it's unnecessary to have these frictions, right? And the whole idea of like talking it through and all that is like, it is a process of building towards that same ideal.
The alignment.
Right?
Yeah.
The alignment, right? So it's like, oh, you learn, oh, then you cut a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other party move a little bit. Right. So everybody kind of move. Right. I know when you say it this way, right, doesn't feel very good. It feels like I'm like compromising. Right? Compromising is a horrible word, right? Mm. But actually, we're all just moving into a new equilibrium between us.
Reggie has a point, because you think about it, you are talking from the marriage point of view, but you were okay with your husband like that during dating too? In dating time, do you already realize his financial ideals?
Yes.
And you were okay that he's a spender, that he doesn't think much to spending?
Yes, I think because, number one, we loved each other. So love makes it worth working for. And having, yes, it's unnecessary tension. It would be easier if someone aligns with you right from the start. You'd avoid a lot of these hard conversations, right? But the fact that you love someone enough to want to have this hard conversation despite it being hard, I think that's the key. And the other thing also is that money is not the only factor in a marriage.
Of course,
There's also things like the parents, the in-laws, your views towards kids.
Love how the thing was the parents and the in-laws.
So I want to ask, right? Reggie, you said, well, it'll be good if you can find someone. What if you find someone who has the same financial ideals? You love that person, maybe. You're choosing between two people now. One whom you love a lot, one whom you like. But the one whom you love, right, don't have the same ideal. The one that you like have the same ideal. But then, in terms of children, the one whom you have, who you align with financially does not align with you kids-wise. Mm. Then how to choose? You see, it's very difficult. Reality is not so simple.
It's very nuanced. You have to rank your factors, right? In other words, on some level, whether you explicitly have a ranking system or deep down in your heart, you know, you have a ranking system, there is some level of that. Like, we are not a single issue voter, right? In other words, right? We don't move because of one thing only. Yep. We have a complex, you know, thought process, which is why this is an endless topic, ma. Right? Everybody asks, like, you know, hey, well, must I share my ideas with my partner, right? And so I don't discount that thing, but I do think it's a little bit of a bit of a fallacy in terms of the dichotomy to choose, you know, because it's just so hard and it's hard to...
Maybe the better question to ask would be, after finding someone you love and want to spend the rest of your life with, how do you then move towards the same financial ideal?
Exactly. So that is essentially the grinding process, right?
Yes.
Right, because from the start of like, oh, wow, and then all the way until like, dun, 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 that's a process, right?
Mm.
So from there, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years, I don't know, I mean, time is relative. I know different people are different. But in that process of getting to know each other, more and more things come out, right?
Mm. Yeah.
More and more things are revealed, right? Like at first, maybe just the looks, personality, what even is personality, right? As you know more about the person, there are facets to the person, different personality, different things that are embedded that right from the start, you will not know. So I do think, right, in a lot of relationship, at least in Singapore, the money element comes in quite late.
Yes, it does.
It's not like right from the start, we're going to talk about this, how much you have, what is your wealth, you know, like all that. And, like, it's not like money is a prerequisite to dating, right? A lot of people believe in the whole, like, you know, romance and all that, you know, which is also can be problematic, but that's not a discussion. So as these things start to reveal to you, you know, midway through the relationship, before you like, okay, this is the person. As you move along, then this hurdle is a hurdle that you have to cross, right?
Yeah. But so eventually most people cross it too late.
Yeah. So eventually you have to grind through it. Whether you grind it before marriage or you grind it after marriage has a difference.
Yeah.
But I realize that the reason why Singaporeans probably would not put money as the main consideration at the beginning is because we are quite a privileged country and we all earn our keep and we are self-sufficient.
Mm.
It's only when you realize that your income is dependent on your spouse, then that's when you will want to ask more questions about your spouse.
And sometimes that only comes after you have kids and someone makes the decision to step back.
So I feel that
Which need not be the lady. Just saying, I'm putting out.
You know what's more important, I feel, than financial ideals? It's actually the lifestyle ideals. Because anyway, money is to fund a certain thing, right? Yes. So as long as you and I agree that we want a certain lifestyle, whether we want to have married, with how many kids, what kind of house, I think that needs to be aligned first. Then the money comes in, which is talking about who funds what or how much percentage of the lifestyle you fund. Because as long as we can agree that you fund 70, I fund 30, and we're okay with this 70-30 like a shareholder, then we will never have problems.
And I think also having, recognizing that there are different standards or levels would help. Like if the couple can sit down and talk, what is the base case? What's the worst that both parties can live with?
The big expense.
Yeah, exactly. Then after that, when you have extra money, your bonuses and all, you move towards the more luxurious element, then it helps you to moderate. And at each point, so if someone wants to go super luxurious, then the one the other party can say, hey, but remember, you're not there yet, you're not earning this much yet, we should stay here. So you can go back, but not cross that basic line.
Another thing came up. It also depends on the financial avatar of your partner.
Avatar. Yeah.
So for example, is he more of an earner, spender or saver?
Post-production.
So, okay, think about it. Let's play this game, okay? If let's say both are earners, not a problem. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
If both are spenders, that's a problem. Because if all spend, eventually you run out of money, unless you're totally okay being poor together.
Then the burden falls on the kids.
Then good luck to the kids, right? Okay, last thing. Both savers actually also okay. So I guess what happens when it's different. For example, earner and spender, right? Then it depends what is who earns, the rate of earning and the rate of spending. If I can earn more than you spend, then it's still a net positive.
Actually,
then it's okay.
Just simplify that. It's really just saver plus spender. No need earner. Earner is, it then helps to determine how much more control you have. How much respect you can command from the other person to, no, this is my money. You don't cross this line. But at the end of the day, it's like, the saver and saver is okay. The spender and spender might be in problem with trouble later.
They were spent together,
on.
So we're hanging out, but they were in trouble later.
Yeah. And then, but then, what if you all are opposites?
Then you need to then draw that line, decide what should we save on, what should we spend on.
Yes.
And if we can align, then we can be together.
No. And I would say that is finding the plan down the road, right? SCSU. But I want to start with the ideals to begin with, right? Like we can have diverging ideals. The idea here is, can we actually have diverging ideals and come to a consensus on the plan?
Yes. I'm very idealistic. I think the answer is yes, if you love the person enough and you recognize that this is a shared future that you're working towards.
And
if you don't align on some parts, then if you're the earner, you have some power and respect to say, well, it's my money. Don't cross the line here. Then it's fine. And I'll use my own case as an example. My husband spends a lot on bicycles. I don't understand why, you know. To me, I studied on an exchange program in China, and I see them, you know, ride all those $10, $20, $100 plus bicycle, and it serves them very well. Because it's a village, right? They don't spend. I see my husband spend $10,000 on a bike. I want to whack him, man. But I respect him enough because he say, hey, but I earn I don't really spend on anything else except my bike. This is my love. Right? Yeah, this is my hobby. This is what makes me happy. What? They're like, okay, can. But can you don't buy so many? Three is enough already. Stop buying. My house no space. You know? So then it becomes that conversation. So we respect. But I can understand that if this was a different scenario and I was the earner, he did not earn, and he makes this spending decision, I'll be very offended because it's my money that you're spending. It's our money.
That's why I say, where's the source of the money? I'm thinking that you can have whatever financial ideals as long as, number one, you don't impose, and number two, your financial ideal don't affect that relationship.
And that's the part that I will push, right? I don't know if it can be so clean. If it could be so clean, then it wouldn't be a topic on our show.
What is a showstopper for me, or a deal breaker for me, is if that person that I'm dating loves spending on luxury goods. My opinion is that I really don't see why we should spend money on an expensive bag. I just don't buy that. So if I have to be forced to buy that, I'll be very unhappy. So that's the diversification of ideals. As long as you earn the money, you want to buy whatever Chanel bags you want, no problem, it's your money. But the minute you are asking me to buy you a Chanel bag and you force me to buy you a Chanel bag, then that is a problem. So I feel that's the difference in ideals. But the thing is that as long as we don't impose, because it's your money, you spend it whatever way, it becomes a problem when you want to spend somebody else's money. For your own interest. But if next time it's for our kids, then you want to send him to the best school. Now, I would share the same idea with you because I also want my kid to go to the best school. I won't mind spending more.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I will push a little bit on that in the sense that one case scenario is a very airy-fairy case scenario in the sense that a lot of people do this, right? Some people want luxury, some people don't, but it's not important, right? Like it's not like core to the financial structure of your home or your life, right? If you, I do believe that for a lot of people, they will buy a luxury bag, a luxury car, like when they can, right? Or they will push themselves a little bit to go and get that as a way to actualize or, you know, reward themselves or something, right? I'm not saying I agree with them. I'm saying that I believe there's a lot of people like that. You know, but to me, this is a 边角料, right? It's like one of those things like, okay, on the side, there is something there. But the next point that you brought up, which is education. How do we want to live day to day, right? Do we cook? You know, do we need to have a lot of insurance? Should we invest? I think it's a thing. Should we invest together? Or should we be aggressive as an investor? Or should we, you know, kind of tarik back, be more prudent and all that? All these are the real crux of the complexity in the discussion, you know? Like not a random side thing, which, you know, I feel like when you want to settle down as a family, right? I think it's a back thing, or like car thing, bicycle thing, not as important already, right? We're really talking about the core of like how you look at risk, you know, how you understand like quality of life. All these kind of things. You know what I'm saying? And to me, right, you cannot take a divergent position on that. Eventually, both of you will grind to an equilibrium
position. And that will be dependent on individual financial intelligence already, law, right? Like how, you know, if someone is smart versus dumb, very hard to hang out, right? So if let's say both are willing to increase their financial knowledge, then if, like, for example, if I have no financial knowledge, I will never think I want to invest my money, which is why I clash with your ideals. Right? But if I start upgrading myself and start realizing that, okay, actually there's a value in investing, then there's alignment. Right?
Yeah.
So I will defer to the person. If let's say this happens to me, I will defer to the person that has more intelligence than me in the area of finance.
And I would say also, right, the other thing is, it's very nice to assume, maybe because you're single, but it's nice to think that you can find someone who aligns with your financial ideals from the start.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'll bring out is a lot of these things you cannot foresee. It only happens exactly as you go along.
As you go along, right? Yes. We have established that as you go along, you review more things about your ideas, your goals.
You thought the person shares your view towards sending to a good school.
But then
later on, something else changes, right?
To me, it's not too late. To me, it's inherent in finding the relationship. Because when you first start, maybe you're just like, oh yeah, very cute, each other, you know. And then eventually you get to the next level, you review more and more about yourself. It's a peeling onion process, right? As you move down, you keep on evaluating to know that, okay, I want to continue to spend more effort. I want to continue to go in further. You're not at the same position as when you first started.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why more and more things are being reviewed. This is natural in all relationships, not just a couple relationship, even your boss, you know, your colleagues. As you know more, people open up more, they review more about themselves. Right? So when you are at the next level, which, you know, like getting closer and closer, and more things, and these things start to come out, right? And then you cannot then say whether is it a deal breaker at this point in time as compared to your reference point being right from the start.
But which is why that's why there's so many divorces. Right? Because if you think about it, money goes where we value it. Whatever we value, that's where our money flows. So money, where money flows shows us our values. And if our money flow in two different areas, it shows that we have differing values. So then if it comes to that point, then it's a contention. Then at that moment, you have to decide who you're going to defer to. You can have two values.
Right? Which is why on some level, you are driving towards a similar value structure. Is why on my view, my train of thought is you cannot not have the same financial ideals. It's just, you can start differently. You know, you can start at a different point. But eventually, if you want to form a family unit together, you want to 长跑, marathon, 30 years, until age old and like become like crippled and all, mm-hmm. right? Crippled. Like, you know, you eventually have to get to a position where broadly, I mean, you know, there's a spectrum, yeah. right? But you must be broadly aligned
but
with
there's
your,
a but.
With
there's
your
a
financial
but.
Ideas.
The but is, now I agree with you. Yeah. That means, yes, you're right, actually, because ideals different. It converts.
Eventually you have to get to a position.
In order to have peace and quiet and happiness. But there's a but. The but is, if both parties have earned a lot of money, then they can afford to have differing values.
Yep.
But it's when we have either a single income or limited income, then we have to either defer to one core value.
Yeah.
Otherwise, actually, you can still have two core values.
Yeah. Fair. This one I can
so
agree.
So it depends on the money you make.
It is highly dependent on the
family.
And I would argue that is a very small bunch of people that can actually have that kind of like, oh, you do you lah. Right? You know, if we're going to come together as a median income, 4-5, 4-5, add together, 10K, you know, enough to have a 2-kid, 3-kid kind of family structure, you know, but not enough to have like multiple way of life, right? In that sense.
That's why I think having a basic versus more luxurious lifestyle alignment.
Like stretch goals like that, right?
In that sense. Stretch goals. Yeah. So you always come back to alignment on your basic, which is what you all have agreed on. And if your finances allow for it, then you go for more. And then if you are not at that stage but you want to go for more, then it's up to the party who wants more to work harder, earn more, and bring the power back into the equation.
But you know where I'm coming from.
No, get it now.
I'm coming from a position that you have to come to a...
Eventually.
Yeah. We may not start there. But we don't call ourselves family right from the start, right? Right? We don't call ourselves like partners right from the start, right?
So Reggie, this is a good point. So let's say we have a lot of singles listening also, right? What would be very good questions? We can start asking our dates so that we can get a sense of what might happen in future.
I will go first with asking, are you a saver or spender?
Okay, good question.
And then asking, where do you tend to save and spend on?
Okay.
And understand that will not be the full answer because a lot of things have yet to happen. Yeah. But that will give you a general idea right from the start. Then you can decide, oh, he's a spender, I'm a saver. Am I okay with that?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, good one. Because then you also know your values also, different values.
Because
right?
That's what I started with my husband. Point. I asked. And I could see very obviously from his bank account and his earning and the way he was living paycheck to paycheck that he was very obviously a spender. And I, on the other hand, was the girl who saved 20K, right? So I was obviously the saver. But we were able to know that upfront and talk to it and understand each other's perspective and then work together towards a shared common point.
Yeah, but it only at some point then the bank account got reviewed, right? At some point, slowly things opened up, right?
When we had that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was before he proposed.
How long have you all been dating already?
Well, don't ask me this kind of question. I don't know. I don't know when
people
it happened already.
People already two kids already.
Too long ago already.
If we think of it,
I accepted the proposal, we already had this conversation.
Yeah. And you know what I'm saying, right? You must both come to that position. You may not start, but if you don't grind through this, then you end up in a very awkward situation day to day. You know, which is why a lot of people, a lot of families, they have this big problem of like very awkward way of managing. Like maybe your dad will be like, oh, 你还这个, I pay this, right?
But and actually, then, different pricing.
Actually, yeah. And then some people are like, oh, you invest on your own self, law. I invest differently, law. But so then are we driving to the same goal? Because there are objective standards towards achieving a goal, right? If your goal is to buy a condo, right? Let's say a simple goal. Your goal is to, not say simple, but simply clearly defined. Okay, that's why it's simple. If your goal is to buy a condo, and then, you know, if both of you are, this is your goal, your shared goal together. One person wants to live a life that doesn't work towards that. Now, objectively, they are impeding the common goal. So if there is no common goal, we don't come to a mutual understanding of the common ideals, how can we build a life
together? So there is a solution to that, which is when you set out the basic versus the luxurious stretch goals, right? You see the one who wants the condo versus the one who wants a very simple, let's say HDB. Every time the person wants to go towards the condo, the other person can just remind, okay, but we're not yet there. We then recognize that we can get there when we are here.
Or that I'm only willing to pay for a HDB. If you want a condo, sure.
Everything
then the
else
excess
is on
you
your,
pay.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like how...
Then it's easy to come to an alignment.
The whole idea of like, I want to sit business class, but my partner always wants to sit economy. So okay, then I would pay extra for myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I don't think it's an issue.
Yeah, so I think that's operational, right? It's not an issue operationally. I think those are good strategies to go about planning, you know, together as a collective. Yeah, but fundamentally, it still boils back because the question for the day is like, do you need to share the ideals, right? Do you need to share your partner's ideals, Right. And yeah, my position is eventually you have to get there.
Yeah. You share the big ideals together.
Yes.
But I mean, recognize and respect. Yes. And I think understanding whether the person is a saver or spender right from the start will also help to make the marriage smoother, because when you then go into it, when you accept the proposal, when you go and propose, then you know what you're signing up for.
Mm-hmm.
Because you choose to marry the person, right? It's like I chose, my mother-in-law always reminds me of this. You chose to marry him, what? No one forced you, what? And then she says the same to her son. You marry her, what? So why you kiam her kiam?
You know what we should do? We should bring your mom and your husband on the set.
Oh my. Put her on the spot.
Put her on the spot. It's like, auntie, right. Yeah. Lovely,
yeah, but
lovely.
It's about, I really like that perspective, because she always reminds us that we are the ones who chose each other. And if you don't know, so I think a lot of couples, when they fall apart, of course, there are many factors, but if financially money was one of the key factors, right, it could be because they didn't understand whether they were marrying a saver or spender right from the start. And that only came about later on as they started to peel the onion and spend more time together. After they already sealed the marriage contract, then a bit too late already. And then by then, if y'all are not, you didn't remember, and so you thought that you married, let's say, a saver, and now he's a spender. But you thought you married a saver. Hence, you didn't choose the spender. So you cannot take responsibility for your own decision. So it's harder for the individual, right? And that's where all the tension then comes
Which
in.
Is why now we know, we have to ask earlier on.
Earlier on.
And not just finance, you know, it's what
many other things. Yes, your goals, your life, the way you want to live, your values. All these things are important right from the start, right? And which is why the time element does matter. Sometimes people say date a few years, you know, kind of see a few seasons of life, just kind of sense the person.
Sometimes also it's the maturity and the wisdom.
Actually, the easiest is, I feel, it's who pay for the first date.
But, you know, but like, if you believe in the equality thing, man.
Yeah, no.
But who talks about it, you see? Because, for example, when, let's say you go on a date with a guy, right? Would you expect the guy to pay?
I'm easy.
So if, let's
so
say
if he insists, right, so then like, okay lah.
What if, let's say, the guy say, shall we go Dutch?
Then like, okay lah. You know why? Because I have the earning power and I don't care.
But back then, you were.
But I do have friends who are like, no, the guy must be.
That itself is a very good red flag or indicator for me of whether I want to be with that person or not, right? Yeah. So I use that as a test also.
Exactly. And I think just now you were asking like, what are some questions to ask, right? Yeah, I was thinking about this. I don't really have questions to ask.
But actually,
I observe a lot of actions. Like, why you do this? Yeah. Why? And I'll ask based on
because I don't mind paying for the girl, but I don't want a girl to assume I'll pay for her. Yeah, so I like the idea of like, we go on a date, then I'll pay first, of course, right? I'll get credit card paid. And she'll say, what's my share? Well, I tell her that's a winner for me, man. Because I mean,
hey, you know, all of you know,
don't assume we pay, right? Then I realized that, oh wow, we can have an open conversation about money. It's not awkward at all. And I felt that that's a very good relationship because money is a very big part of a relationship.
You don't know what questions, right? So I can share my own experience.
Please.
Aside from the saver spender thing, I think also understanding more, it doesn't have to be a direct question, but understanding more about their worldview through the childhood.
Yes.
Yeah. So like, as we learn about each other's childhood, and then I realized that he was the everything given to him kind, you know, and then cannot study. The parents hire very expensive tuition to teach him. I only have like the cheaper tuition, whatever we can afford. You start to see the divergence in your worldviews on money, and then you have a conversation about it.
I like it. Tell me more about your childhood.
So you don't always have to ask directly, because sometimes the person doesn't even know
what kind of toys you play.
Yeah.
Oh, if they say, oh, my toys are all hand-me-down.
Yeah. Versus, and then you hang up, know already. Then you know the hand-me-down person. Next time you have kids and you want to share, the kids must hand-me-down clothes. He'll be okay. Yeah. If you don't have hand-me-down, like my mother-in-law, she don't let my second kid have the go hand-me-down. I'm like, hey, I have two
money,
boys. Well, I cannot save money, wear the same clothes. The big one only wear for how many times? He's like, no, so kalian. Just because he's number two, no new clothes. You know, so you tend to see that. Like, so I think that's why it's a compromise also. So she starts to see, and my husband also sees my rationale for some things being hand-me-down. And I also see the importance of some things being new. Yeah, and then you come to compromise on it.
Beautiful.
So understanding the childhood, their worldview, the spender-saver is good one. I think investing, like you said, right? What if they both don't want to invest?
Yeah.
Right, then how? Then you just have to wait for both to wake up. Or someone wake up first, or you hire a financial planner to wake you up, or you come to SG Budget Babe website and you read articles, and then you wake up, you become financially woke, stuff like, or listen Financial Coconut. So it's really about a journey.
That's part of the fun, right, as a couple.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. So I like it. what is a deal breaker then? Do you, last questions? Okay, close the episode today. What is a deal breaker as you move along? I'm sure you have multiple relationships before you settle down, right? What was a deal breaker that you feel like this thing is just too hard to move?
Mine's easy. Spending more than what you have.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So like my husband will last for very branded cars, Mercedes and Lambo and all that. And I'm like, we can't afford it. And but I don't stop him from having those dreams.
You can wonder, but must wake up.
Right? No, I think I am not against having a Mercedes. I don't see the point of it. But I'm not against, I can see where you're coming from. But let's only get a Mercedes if your income is how many times more than the cost of the Mercedes. Then it makes sense. And he agrees with that. Yeah, so I don't stop it. So if he, let's say now, where we can't afford something, and he goes and puts down the deposit or commit to it already, that would be a deal breaker for me. I would like, walk out, bye, don't talk to you for like 2 months, let me cool down.
Oh, wow.
But
okay,
it's not, because we talk about it and he understands the stretch goals. I think that having that basis really helps.
Nice, I like that.
Oh, and that's why I see it's also good to always defer to the one that's financially wiser. I think it's still smarter. That means even if you earn a lot of money, but if your other half actually have more intelligence in finance, it might actually be wise for you to let the person make the decision. Because then your money can last longer. Yeah, that's my takeaway. Oh, but anyway, your question is,
What's the deal breaker for me?
Gambling. For
you?
Gambling. Gamble is a huge one.
I was just thinking, what is my deal breaker? Yeah. Because I don't really have a lot of experience. So I was like, what is a deal breaker? It's like gambling. Yeah. Gambling is a deal breaker. Because I had horrible experiences of that.
Yeah, I can ruin relationships.
Okay, but that being said, I'm not saying that gambling as a form of addiction is like inferior to like comfort eating or something, right? Addiction all come from the same root. It's just represented differently, right? Yeah. So I don't want people to kind of like, you know, diss on like gambling or smoking or, you know, like, but the idea here is some of this addiction does have a bigger financial impact down the road.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and gambling is one of them.
Gambling is one thing that you can lose a lot of money just like that.
Maybe we should have like a free gym membership for the gamblers or something, right?
Free what?
Free gym membership, right?
Why gym?
Because they can change their addiction to
something
to another
healthier thing.
Right. So because like I said, it is rooted on addiction. And that means it's rooted on some sort of coping mechanism.
And there's
right?
a trigger.
Yeah, there's a trigger, there's some sort of coping mechanism. Gambling is but a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Right. To get the high and the hedonistic cycle and all that kind of stuff. So if you can switch it up, right, to change a different way of coping. Of course, the best thing is you work through the triggers and all that, get to a peace. All that, everybody say that, right? But we all know there's a time spectrum to that, to get to that position. But if you can use a healthier coping mechanism, which there are objective standards, right? Cheaper, you know, healthier for your wallet kind of coping mechanism, it's great. Right, so I think that's
if I can summarize, right? I think there are three. You ask what questions to ask. I think there are three good ones. The first one would be the spender saver and the childhood one, right? The second one is your basic versus your stretch luxury goals. Your third one is really about this portion. Yeah, like what are your deal breakers? And it's not just financially. It could also be relationship wise, right? Cool. So like my husband and I had this conversation. What's your deal breaker if you cheat on me? I cut off.
So cheating is really a no-no for
you. Yeah, it's a no-no.
Cut what off? Very scary. Yeah. The cut off got energy.
See,
got like,
off.
I was like,
what? No, but as in jokes aside, it's really about helping each other understand what is your line. Yeah. So that when the person knows and yet crosses it, there's clear disrespect already.
Nice.
And it shows that if the person doesn't love and respect you enough to respect that line, then maybe he's not working hard enough for this relationship. And you can reconsider your options then. Do you want to stick with someone who didn't try hard? Or you want to listen to his excuse or story or justification for why he or she did that? And then decide from there.
Good point.
Nice. I'm sure there's a lot more to discuss.
You
but
what's your deal breaker?
I don't know. Gambling, I think gambling is definitely one of those deal breakers.
Gambling is a good one.
Yeah, yeah. But but I don't have, you know, I should think about it. But all of you should think about it. Put in your comment section below, right?
What is your deal breaker?
What is your deal breaker such that you will pause the development of the relationship?
Financial deal breaker.
Yeah,
right,
financial deal breaker. Mm. Yeah. Yes. Of course, be financial channel, man. Right? So, yeah.
It's not a financial channel. It's a self-growth channel.
Okay, self-growth and yeah. Okay, yes. We are the best, right?
But it's a finance topic for relationships. Yes.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
No, thanks for the question. Love you.